I'm Nick Shea. I'm a research fellow in the philosophy of psychology and cognitive neuroscience based in the Faculty of Philosophy and working with the Oxford Centre for Neuroethics.
So, Nick, you're interested in the philosophy of psychology. What is the philosophy of psychology?
So, philosophy of psychology is, as I practice it, roughly empirically informed philosophy of mind. There are these ancient questions in philosophy of mind that people have been working on for hundreds of years, like, what is thinking? What's the nature of consciousness? And people have come to the realization recently that looking at real empirical data can be helpful for these questions.
And one of the things you're interested in is what it is that makes humans unique.
And of course, that's the question that's fascinated people over the ages, and everyone has their own views. So maybe it's language, maybe it's that we've got specially powerful cognitive capacities. But an answer that's been tried out recently is that it's human culture that makes humans special. And in particular, that there's something about the way culture is transmitted that allows human culture to be so much richer and more full of information than cultures that you find in other animals. The thing that people focus on there is the human ability to imitate, and the idea that imitation is a special way of transmitting information down the generations.
Okay, what do you mean by imitation? What's imitation?
So broadly considered, imitation is just the ability to watch someone else do something and to perform that same thing yourself.
And humans are particularly good at imitating other humans? Is that the idea?
Well, people used to think that imitation was a distinctively human ability, that it was really only humans that could observe some complex behavior and be able to produce it themselves. But now that animal researchers have gone out and looked in the animal kingdom, you find that there's actually quite complex imitation, not only in other apes, where you might expect it, but across a whole range of species, from dogs to tortoises and even fish. There's a paradoxical feature of imitation, which is we tend to think that there are two ways of imitating. One is the blind way of imitating. Monkey see, monkey do. You do exactly what you've seen without thinking about it. But then there's rational imitation, which of course us clever humans do, which is to think about what you've seen and to adapt it yourself and do whatever is the most rational way of reaching the goal that you've seen. It turns out that the rational imitation is something that you find in other animals, for example, in apes. If you show them some clever trick, they won't copy all the details of the way that you've produced it. They'll cut to the chase and get the reward directly. Whereas humans have a much stronger tendency to do the monkey see, monkey do thing, to blindly imitate all the details of what they've been shown.
So that seems very counterintuitive, because we think it's the humans who would calculate rationally and animals that would imitate blindly.
So one kind of experiment where this is demonstrated is if you produce a box on which you can do a complicated series of things. You can pull drawers and push levers and turn wheels and so on. And you can use this box to demonstrate a series of moves that will allow you to get a reward. So you can use it with apes and the reward will be some kind of food. You can use it with children and their reward will be a sticker. If you do it with an opaque box, so you can't see the inner workings, then children who watch the moves will copy all the moves and get their sticker. So there might be seven moves, they'll copy all seven moves and get the sticker, and the same with the apes. But now if you make the box transparent, it becomes clear that some of the moves are completely otiose, that pulling this lever has nothing to do with the mechanism that allows you to get the reward at the end. The interesting thing is that the apes will cut straight to the chase. They'll leave out all the otiose moves, whereas human children seem to have a tendency to imitate all the OTO's moves as well.
One area of research that you're focusing on is whether this imitation in human behavior somehow parallels the way in which genetic information is passed down from generation to generation.
If we want to say that what's special about humans is that they have a special way of inheriting information down the generations that's mediated by imitation, then we really have to make more than just the rough analogy, but ask whether imitation has the precise kinds of features that would be necessary to make it a really powerful inheritance mechanism. That's to say, if it would have the features that would make it somewhere that you could store up a lot of information about what's functional and transmit that reliably to future generations. To make that analogy good, you need to go back and focus on what makes genes representational and carry that answer across to imitation. And doing that process, it turns out that this paradoxical tendency of humans blindly to imitate more than other species do makes quite a lot of sense, because then you can understand blind imitation as an adaptation for fidelity, for making sure the behavioral traits that gets transmitted with relatively high fidelity.
Now, I can see how a psychologist might be interested in this, or an animal behaviourist, but what can a philosopher bring to the table?
Well, to start with, of course, philosophers aren't trying to bring something. It's rather that we've come to a realization that we need this data. But it constantly surprises me that it turns out that scientists are also interested in talking to us, and so that we get involved in a collaborative process of theory building, I guess because philosophers bring to the table various theory building and logic type tools that are useful in this process of building these high-level interdisciplinary theories.
Nick, thanks very much.
Thank you, David.